Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
If you saw the movie Lone Survivor, you may think you know a little about what it's like to be under the relentless fire of Taliban soldiers in Afghanistan, but you would be wrong, and that's Hollywood. But there's another element of the movie that takes more disturbing liberties with the facts about an attack back in 2005. Navy SEAL Marcus Luttrell survived in the film version of Lone Survivor because of some heroics on the part of Afghan villagers who pull him back from the brink of death from his serious wounds and other attacking Taliban soldiers. Luttrell wrote the book the movie is based on. But Mike Spees, a reporter from Vocative, says the Lone Survivor movie, which has made an estimated $125 million, basically invented the heroic figure of Afghan villager Mohammed Ghulab, and the notoriety of the film has put the real-life Ghulab in danger. A hero on screen, but a near fugitive left to fend for himself by Hollywood at the mercy of the Taliban. Mike Spees, Vocative reporter, has the story. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
So what attracted you to the ending?
Mostly I was just very surprised, or I was just curious, I guess, what had become of the man who saved Marcus's life. And it was something that stuck in the back of my mind. But it wasn't something that I necessarily had thought to go out and look into. I just, you know, it crossed my mind, and then it, you know, kind of stayed in the back of my mind. And then a story came to us from another reporter in Afghanistan. And my editor showed me a transcript of this interview with Ghulab, and it was just it was so shocking. I couldn't believe it. I thought that there had to have been some kind of mistake.
Let's hear Marcus Luttrell talking about his relationship with Mr. Ghulab on the program 60 Minutes from CBS News. He's speaking with Anderson Cooper.
So you speak in English to him, he speaks in Pashtun to you, and if you don't have a translator, you can still pretty much make out what you're talking about.
I mean, I understand enough of the language to when he's trying to communicate with me. A lot of times I don't speak it back because I'm from Southeast Texas and it sounds just like total garbage when it comes out of my mouth.
Your Pashtun is not too good.
Yes, sir. No, it's not.
You speak with a southern accent.
So, yeah. Southtun.
Southtun.
Yeah.
What did you make of the real character versus the shocking discrepancies that you saw in the reporting?
It was really the contrast between the transcript that I receive and the 60 Minutes story that was put forth, which was this sort of this myth, this narrative that wasn't real about these two men that could supposedly understand each other even though they didn't speak the same language and they were brothers, and that after Ghulab had rescued Marcus, this relationship had continued. But as it turned out, none of that was true. And Ghulab had been brought over, you know, 5 months before the movie came out to essentially do press and make everything look authentic and legitimate.
Right.
But in reality, they weren't really communicating. They had an interpreter. They don't really understand each other. And this kind of idea that they have this language that exists beyond language is actually nonsense, and is part of the reason that I think this has happened.
Hollywood needs an ending that says the Afghans and the Americans are brothers.
Right, right.
In your, according to your reporting, that's hogwash.
Yeah, it's hogwash. Totally right, not true. Right. I mean, it's not reality. They don't understand
each other. Hollywood needs an ending that the Afghans see through the Taliban versus the U.S. fight and identifies the U.S. guys as the good guy here. That's
right.
Hogwash.
And it's hogwash. And not only is that true, but because of that need, it continues off the screen. So 60 Minutes, for all of their virtues, completely played into that. I mean, that whole segment that they did was so, it felt so fake. Even I remember even when I first watched it, it was so sentimental and kind of tawdry. I was surprised. It didn't seem real.
And so, not unlike the, you know, vaccination salesman who is the man who basically fingers Osama bin Laden,
right?
And who ends up in danger as a result of doing this heroic act that helps the Americans. Ghulab is also now in danger.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Explain.
Soon after he had rescued, I mean, actually, as soon as he had rescued Marcus and had given him safe harbor, the Taliban was very unhappy with him. They wanted him to give up the American soldier, and he wouldn't do it. And eventually American troops came in and rescued Marcus. And immediately he was in danger. I mean, he'd been shot. And then, you know, he got moved to a new location. He got a job on a base. Then he was detained by American forces because they were suspicious that he was possibly collaborating with the Taliban. And then they realized they had made a mistake, but he wasn't allowed back on the base again. And then he came over for a brief period in 2010 for 3 weeks, and it was a visit. And as far as I can tell, it seemed to be like kind of a happy time. Though why he was here during that time, other than the fact that they were meeting each other and seeing each other again, isn't really clear to me. Because after the original incident took place in 2005, they hadn't spoken for a while, as Gulab says. Mm. So they were out on the ranch in 2010, and they were, you know, shooting guns. Seems like they were having fun on some level, I think, but I don't really know. But then he went back 3 weeks later, and it still wasn't safe for him in Afghanistan or his family. And then it was Universal's time to bring him back into this country. And it was, at least from an outsider's perspective, they were able to use him to great effect.
Use him.
Yeah. You know, you trot him out on the red carpet, put him on 60 Minutes. I mean, it looks great. To be honest, the whole thing is so confusing. Because, I mean, even when he was here, he went home a month early before his visa ran out. And there was talk, at least, about getting him a green card or asylum. But the easiest thing to do, and the way this could have been taken care of, is if Marcus or someone in his family or his camp just introduced him to an immigration lawyer. That's it. That's all it really would have taken. Now, since he's been back, according to Gulab, he's been trying to reach out and trying to get in touch, and they just haven't been responsive at all.
The fact that Gulab's story was so at odds with what the movie said, you're a good reporter.
Thank you.
But this was relatively easy to find. What does that say to you?
Well, I mean, his account was less in dispute with the movie than just everything that happened after the movie. I mean, what Gulab was essentially saying was, I was promised all of this stuff and I didn't get any of it, and I've been left behind in Afghanistan.
And now I'm in fear.
And now I'm in danger, and I've been in danger, and no one's doing anything about it, and he doesn't understand why. And that is so at odds with, you know, what we saw, you know, on 60 Minutes. I mean, you have this idea, this sort of myth that these two men from very different cultures have found a way to meet each other in this different kind of space that's beyond language, and it's very beautiful, but it's just not real.
Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mike Spies is a reporter for Vocative.